Chapter 13. Lexi stood outside room 357 of the Westin Motel with Ruth, Ida, and Helen, and watched Nance tap on the door with her fist. They heard shuffling noises, a cough, and then the sound of the safety chain. The door opened a crack to reveal Gina, her brow furrowed in a question. Then her eyebrows shot up as she recognized them.
You're the ladies from Daddy's place, aren't you?
Yes, we are, Nan said brightly.
Gina's brow creased again.
What are you doing here?
We were hoping we could talk to you a bit about your father.
Gina stepped back, opening the door all the way.
Sure.
Lexi noticed the suite was spacious and clean. A small kitchenette sat off to the left. A hallway with what she assumed were the bedrooms was straight ahead. They stood in a newly updated living room with a couch, two chairs, and a television. Gina plopped down in one of the chairs and grabbed a cigarette from her pack, then motioned for them to sit. Nance took the other chair, leaving Ida, Ruth, Helen, and Lexi to wedge themselves onto the couch.
Mind if I smoke?
Gina waved her lighter in front of the cigarette.
Not at all, Nance answered.
Lexi would have preferred no smoke, but Nance had a policy of trying to keep the person they were interrogating at ease. This place is nice and big. Lexi craned her neck toward an open door on the right. Does that open to another suite, or is it all one?
We have three suites here, enough for the whole family.
Gina made a face. Well, except my brother.
Oh, you don't get along?
Nance asked. Gina exhaled a long stream of smoke.
He thinks he's better than the rest of us.
Speaking of brothers, did Nunzio have a brother? Ruth asked.
Gina narrowed her eyes.
No. Daddy was an only child. Why?
Ruth shrugged.
Someone mentioned a brother. Does someone in your family have a long beard?
Gina flicked her cigarette ash into the ashtray and frowned at Ruth.
No. Why do you ask?
Oh, just a few things we heard, dear. Nothing to worry about.
Nance leaned over and touched Gina's arm.
We are all so very sorry about your father. Were you all here in the hotel that night?
Yes, we were having a big poker game that night. Even my brother Tony came over from his hotel. Daddy had plans with a friend, so he wasn't here.
But maybe if he had been.
Gina's voice trailed off, and Lexi saw her eyes start to mist.
Anyway, the game broke up around 2. I guess Daddy was already dead by then, but of course, we didn't know it yet.
Has the will turned up?
Nance asked. Gina stubbed her cigarette out in the ashtray.
No, that's why we are all still hanging around here, actually. We're waiting for the police to let us into Daddy's condo so we can look for it. It's still sealed off for the investigation.
Lexi and Ida exchanged an uncomfortable look.
Guess we weren't supposed to be in there, Lexi thought.
Gina continued on. If the new will doesn't show up, we'll have to go with the last will Daddy gave to his attorney. But I know Daddy didn't want that.
Oh, really?
Nance prompted.
Gina nodded. Daddy was kind of a dinosaur when he made that first will. He didn't think much about equal rights for women and such. He felt women were inferior. Which is probably why he got divorced so many times and why I never had a good relationship with him when I was younger.
She paused, looking out the window.
But in the past few years, he mellowed a lot. His first will left most of the money to the men in the family, my brothers and the grandsons. But this new one had equal shares for me and Simone. Daddy told me all about it.
Lexi saw Nance's eyebrows go up.
Gina and Simone certainly had a vested interest in finding the new will. Could one of them have searched Nunzio's after the police were there?
So you haven't been looking for the will?
Nance asked.
Who, me? No. Like I said, I'm waiting to get access to his condo. I already checked his safety deposit box, and it's not in there.
But somebody searched his condo and his car, Ida said. And killed him, Ruth added.
They might have been looking for the will, or something else, Helen said.
Can you think of anything else your father might have had that someone would have been looking for, or might have even killed for? Nance asked. Maybe something related to his organized crime days?
Gina wrinkled her brow.
Now that you mention it, Daddy was acting a little strange these past few months.
She took another cigarette out of her pack and tapped the end on the table.
He did mention something might happen to him. But at the time, I just thought he was worried due to his age. That's why he made the new will.
Geez, you don't think he was still an organized crime? Nan shrugged.
Does one ever really retire from it?
Gina put her head in her hands.
He said he was all done years ago.
Lexi's heart constricted when she heard the other woman's voice choke up at the end. Nans reached over and rubbed her arm.
We don't know what happened, dear, she said soothingly.
Ida, Ruth, and Helen murmured soothing sentiments. Lexi managed to free herself from in between Ruth and Ida on the couch and stand.
Mind if I use the bathroom? She asked.
Oh, sure. Gina pointed to the hallway. It's down there. The first door is Barry's room, then mine, and the third is the bathroom. Lexi thanked her and headed down the hall, looking back over her shoulder to make sure no one was watching. She didn't really need to use the bathroom. She wanted the time to do a little investigating. She figured if one of Nunzio's relatives had something to hide, it would be here in the motel. Maybe she'd get lucky and find something incriminating, like the murder weapon. Lexi went straight to the bathroom and made a lot of noise shutting the door. Except, instead of staying inside, she crept down the hallway and slipped into Gina's room. The room was neat as a pin. One queen-size bed sat against the far wall, the comforter perfectly tucked, pillows plumped. A suitcase stood in the corner. Lexi gave it a quick check, but all the compartments were empty. A small bureau under the window held Gina's clothes. Lexi thumbed through them, her heart pounding, her nerves on high alert for any sound out in the hall. She poked around in the desk, the closet, and under the bed. Nothing. Finally, she slipped her hand in between the mattress and box spring, but came up empty. Back out in the hall, she strained to listen to the sounds coming from the living room. The drone of conversation indicated that Gina wasn't going to be getting up anytime soon, so she took her chances and snuck into Barry's room. Unlike Gina's, this one was a mess. Clothes were piled on the floor, and one of the twin beds was unmade. Lexi lifted some of the clothes with her foot to see if anything was buried underneath, then gingerly picked up the bedclothes with the tip of her thumb and forefinger. Lexi's stomach sank. She wasn't finding anything, and she'd been gone a long time. She crossed quickly to the suitcase which lay open on the other bed, clothes hanging out of it in disarray. She rummaged through it, but came up empty. The lid had a zipper compartment, and she slowly unzipped it so as not to make any noise. She stuck her hand in, her brow furrowing when she felt something rough in texture. Not the soft fabric of clothing like she expected. She pulled on it, leaning closer to the case as she brought her hand out of the compartment. Her heart froze. She stared at the object in her hand. A long, gray beard. Lexi's heart thudded against her ribs as she shoved the beard back into the suitcase. Barry had been masquerading as Nunzio's brother. She crept out of the room, hurried down the hall, quietly opened the bathroom door, then flushed the toilet and made a lot of noise washing her hands. Trying to stay calm, she walked back to the living room. Nance looked up at her, and she angled her head toward the door, hoping the older woman would get the hint.
Well, we've taken up too much of your time. We should be going.
Nance stood, as did Ida, Ruth, and Helen. Gina followed them to the door.
Thanks for stopping by.
Lexi felt like her chest was going to burst as they walked to her car on the other side of the parking lot. She glanced over her shoulder at the hotel to make sure Gina wasn't standing in the door listening.
You won't believe what I found in there.
The murder weapon?
The will?
No.
Lexi lowered her voice. A long, gray beard.
What?
Nance's eyes went wide.
You mean Gina was pretending to be Nunzio's brother? I don't see how she could pull that off.
Not Gina. Barry.
At the memorial, he told me that he's an actor. I bet he knows how to disguise himself to look to be Nunzio's age.
But why?
Ruth asked. Lexi opened the door to her car, pushing the seat forward so Ida, Ruth, and Helen could climb in.
I know why, Nan said, sliding into the front passenger seat. Gina said her father changed the will to leave more money to her and Simone. That means the men, including Barry, will be getting less money.
Ida snapped her fingers.
He wants to find the will to destroy it.
But would he kill Nunzio over it?
Helen asked as Lexi settled herself in the driver's seat.
Unlikely, Ruth said. I don't think Nunzio had a lot of money, not enough to kill over.
Well, if Barry is the one that has been searching for something, and he didn't kill him, then who did? And why?
Ida asked.